Friends, if you have your Bibles, open them up to Luke chapter 17. Luke 17. Over the last 10 weeks or so, we've looked at all kinds of different stories. We've considered questions that Jesus has asked. And really, there's been a theme to our 10-week series. We've talked about what it means to follow Jesus. And by now, you know that if you're going to follow Jesus, you've got to deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow him. We've talked about why in the world you would want to do that. Why would you want to deny yourself? Because he's the only way to heaven. So we spent 3 weeks talking about the beauty of heaven and what heaven will be like and dreaming a bit about heaven. Now we're talking about how we can follow Jesus. And what we've learned is that if we're going to be faithful followers of Jesus, then we've got to be salt and light in our community. We looked at that a couple of weeks ago. You've got to impact the world around you. You've got to share Christ with the world around you, telling people who Jesus is and what Jesus did and why it matters. And doing that in places where you live, work, and play. We call that evangelism. So we spent a week talking about evangelism. Last week, we talked about discipleship. We decided that to be a faithful follower of Jesus, you've got to listen to what Jesus says and you've got to do what Jesus says. You've got to listen to the word and you've got to live it out. Today, we talk about another requirement to following Jesus, and I'm guessing it's probably going to surprise many of you. I think it's one of the most underrated aspects of following Jesus, but it is certainly a requirement to follow Jesus. It might be surprising to you, but today we are talking about the subject of gratitude. Talking about what it means to be thankful to God for what you have, not blaming God for what you don't. If you are going to be faithful, you have got to be grateful. If you're going to be faithful, you've got to be grateful, because if you're not actively practicing gratitude, then you are on a path towards a life of grumbling. Like if you aren't cultivating a life of gratitude, a heart of gratitude, then you are developing a grumbling spirit. So really, you've got two roads you can travel. Will y'all let me be cheesy with you for a minute this morning? And you're like, that's no different than every other day, Brian. Just be cheesy. Let me be cheesy with you for just a minute. You have two options, two roads you can travel. You can either travel down gratitude lane, or you can travel around grumbling circle. Gratitude lane will get you somewhere in life. Gratitude lane takes you closer to God. Gratitude lane fills your heart with joy. Gratitude lane fills your life with faithfulness. Gratitude lane is the place where you go if you want to experience joy and peace. You do that by getting on gratitude lane. But if you want to travel around grumbling circle, you're just going to keep going on a depressing loop over and over and over again. Grumbling circle keeps you far from God. Grumbling circle fills your heart with entitlement. You wonder why God hasn't blessed you the way he's blessed somebody else. Grumbling circle is ultimately the pathway towards a life of loneliness, a life of frustration, a life of anger, a life of sadness, a life of entitlement, and a life of faithlessness. Two options before you, gratitude lane or grumbling circle. In today's passage in Luke chapter 17, Jesus heals 10 lepers. You've likely heard that story. He healed 10 lepers, but only one returned to him with a grateful heart. And Jesus asks three rhetorical questions in this passage, summed up by this one. Where's everybody else? Where are the other nine? And today, the one question that I want to grip your heart and challenge your soul is this. Which group are you in? Are you in the group of the grumbler? Are you in the group of the ones who complain about the things you don't have? Are you in the group that forgets about the God who has blessed you so much? Are you like the nine? Or are you like the one who returned to Jesus, who rejoiced in Jesus? Are you like the nine, or are you like the one? Are you grateful, or do you live a life of grumbling? If you have your Bibles open to Luke chapter 17, let me invite you to stand. We're going to read the story. You can find it right in the middle of Luke 17, between verses 11 and 19. I read from the Christian Standard Bible. If you've got a different Bible, that's great. Just track along with me. Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. The Bible says that while traveling to Jerusalem, he, being Jesus, passed through or passed between, rather, Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, 10 men with leprosy met him. They stood at a distance, and they raised their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he told them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And while they were going, they were cleansed. But one of them, seeing that he was healed, returned with a loud voice, gave glory to God, and fell face down at his feet, thanking Jesus. And he was a Samaritan. And then Jesus said, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Didn't any return to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And look at verse 19. He told him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has saved you." Pray with me. God, thank you so much for the day. Thank you so much for your word. I pray you're glorified by it today. I pray you would help us in this room today as we look at your word. Help us to be believers with a grateful heart. God, I pray you would remove from us that grumbling spirit. I pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would change our hearts and make us more like you. Help us to be like the one. Father, I pray this morning, if there's someone here in the room who does not know you as Lord and Savior, then I pray that this day they might repent, they might believe, and they might be saved. God, I pray you would help me to be faithful to explain your word. Help us to be faithful this morning to hear what your word says and do what your word says and change our lives. Lord, help us to leave here different people than we were when we got here. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. You can be seated. Two realities about the path towards gratitude. Here's the first reality. Everybody pleads for mercy. Raise your hand if you're everybody. Raise your hand if that's you. It's all of y'all. Everybody pleads for mercy. Everyone does that. To plead means to make a desperate appeal to the one who has authority. Everyone, when they're going through difficult times, we all plead to God for mercy. Finish this for me. There's no foxes in, or no, I said it wrong. Stink. I said it wrong, Keith. There's no atheists in. Y'all got it. There's no atheists in foxholes. We need God's help when we're desperate. That's what pleading means, to make a desperate appeal to the one who has authority. The 10 lepers were making a desperate appeal to the one who had authority. In fact, in verse 13, look at your Bible, they call him Master. Do you see that? This is the only time in the book of Luke where someone who wasn't a disciple refers to Jesus as Master. These are lepers who are in a hopeless situation. And I want you to know, we don't talk a lot about leprosy today, but I want you to know about leprosy. I want you to know what it was like in Jesus' day if you had leprosy. Leprosy is a bacterial skin condition. It was hopeless back in Jesus' day. It's a bacterial skin condition. It's a nerve disease. It's brutal. It rots away your skin. You develop these massive sores that you can't feel. Leprosy can cause people to go blind. The nerve endings in your eyes, they don't work anymore. So you don't blink. Do me a favor real quick. Try not to blink for the next 15 seconds. Lepers can't blink. Do you feel the dryness in your eyes? It's only been 10 seconds, and some of you can already feel the dryness in your eyes. Lepers can't blink, and their eyes get dried out, and they ultimately, they go blind. Lepers can lose their voice because leprosy attacks the nerves attached to the voice box and the vocal cords. So they get a really raspy voice. If you were a leper in Jesus' day, if you were a leper, the Bible says in Leviticus 13 that if you were a leper, you had to live outside of the city in a little leper colony with other lepers. And if somebody approached you, you had to yell out, "Unclean! Unclean!" You had to yell that out so that the one who was approaching you would stop approaching you. To have leprosy in Jesus' day was medical desperation and social isolation. And these lepers, 10 of them, they pleaded for God's mercy. Look at what they do. Look in your Bible, verse 13. While traveling to Jerusalem, he passed between Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered a village, he's not in the village yet, because the lepers are outside the village. As he enters the village, 10 men with leprosy met him, stood at a distance and raised their voices as best as they could, because their voice is all raspy. And they said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy." They should have said something else. According to Leviticus 13, what should they have said? "Unclean, don't come any closer." But instead, they pleaded for mercy. You want to know why? You want to know why they pleaded for mercy instead of shouting a word of warning? Because they saw Jesus. And Jesus was the Master, the one who had the authority to save them from their desperate situation. They saw the only one who could solve their problem. And man, I wonder what that was like. 10 lepers outside of the city in a hopeless situation, standing from a distance. They raised their voice, their leprosy-stricken voice, with all they had, with all their might. You can almost see them like jumping, shouting, clapping. They're doing whatever they can to get the attention of Jesus. And what I want you to know is that Jesus saw them. They saw Jesus and Jesus saw them. And when they saw Jesus, they saw one thing: hope. There's the Master who can solve my problem. Listen, if this morning you're in a hopeless situation, then I hope you do exactly what those lepers do. And if you're not in a hopeless situation this morning, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. When you find yourself in a hopeless situation, I hope you do exactly what these lepers do, what they did. I hope you look for Jesus. I hope you ask him for help. I hope you find hope in Christ. The lepers did that. They shouted for mercy. They shot their shot. They saw Jesus and they said, "This is our moment." And they shouted for mercy. And look at what Jesus did. Verse 14, the Bible says, when he saw them. Do you see that? Jesus saw them. That is good news for you. If you're in a desperate situation, that's good news for you. He sees you. When Jesus saw them, he told them to do two things: go and show. Go and show yourselves to the priests. And while they were going, my Bible says they were cleansed. Can you imagine what that was like? Jesus says, "Go and show." The lepers start walking. Maybe they were walking towards town. They were walking towards the priest. They start walking towards the priest and they look down and they realize that the leprosy-stricken hands, the white sores all over their hands, started to reverse. They could feel again. I wonder if one of them blinked and was like, "Oh, I can blink." And I wonder what it was like when they found their voice. There was a party in that circle of 10 people. They were healed. They saw Jesus. They saw hope. And that hope was delivered. Their pain, their suffering, being a total social outcast, all of that was gone. Jesus had given them one incredible gift. You know what he gave them? He gave them their life back. Medical desperation gone. Social isolation gone. Gave them their life back. I hope that if you're in a hopeless situation, you do what everybody else does. I hope that you plead to God for mercy, but I have to tell you, he may not always deliver the same results in your situation that he did for the 10. He's not going to ignore you. He sees you. And when you plead for mercy, he's going to respond in one of two ways. Either he's going to give you mercy and calm the storm. It's exactly what he did with the 10 lepers. He removed the thing that was causing them all the turmoil. He's either going to shower you with mercy and remove that storm from you, or he's going to shower you with grace. And he's going to strengthen you during the storm. That's what he did for the Apostle Paul. You remember 2 Corinthians 12? 2 Corinthians 12 says this, verse 11. "Three times I pleaded with the Lord. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take away this thorn in my flesh." You know what he's doing when he's pleading with the Lord, "Take it away"? He's pleading for mercy.
Three times he says, I pleaded with the Lord to take the thorn in my flesh away, but the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you, and my power is made perfect in your weakness. Paul asked for mercy, but the Lord gave him grace to withstand during the storm. The lepers asked for mercy, and the Lord gave mercy to them. What the Lord gives is his business. If he gives you mercy or grace, that's his business. What he gives is his business. How you respond is your business. How you respond is your responsibility, which brings us to our second point. Everybody pleads for mercy, but y'all, few return with a grateful heart. Listen, I'm not very good at math. There were 10 people and only one returned. If my math is right, somebody correct me if it's wrong. If my math is right, that's 10%. One out of 10 returned with a grateful heart. One of them came back. The other nine, they kept on walking. The other nine, they begged Jesus for a miracle. And as soon as Jesus answered that with mercy, as soon as Jesus provided that miracle for them, they forgot all about him. Forgot who he was. They wanted Jesus to change their circumstance. They wanted Jesus the miracle worker, but they didn't want Jesus the Lord. They had their hands out and their heart closed. Give me what I want and give it to me now. There's a word for that, two words, selfish entitlement. Nine of them forgot about Jesus so quickly after the miracle. One of them hopped on gratitude lane. One of them came back. One of them took the road less traveled. Look at verse 18. The Bible says, but one of them, seeing that he was healed, he could see that his hands had no more sores. Seeing that he was healed, he returned. And with a loud voice, he gave glory to God. He fell face down on his feet, thanking him. And he was a Samaritan. That word for loud voice, it's where we get the word megaphone. It means mega in Greek. We learned that last week. Mega means big. In this case, loud. You could say big, mega, loud. The Greek word for voice is phoné. Think about like a phone. So put those together, you have megaphone. This leper who was healed, he remembered that it was Jesus who did it, and he grabbed his megaphone, and he went, listen, how many of you have ever used one of those megaphones, like a bullhorn? Anybody ever used one of those? Anybody ever used a microphone? Why do you use a microphone or a megaphone? To be heard. When you yell, why are you yelling? To be heard. This leper was yelling because he wanted the whole world to know. And what was he yelling? Look in your Bible, verse 15. He returned with a loud voice and did what? He gave glory to God. You can almost envision it, right? Like, to God be the glory, to God be the glory. He's running back to Jesus. But he does more than that. He's shouting with a loud voice, but what else does he do? He falls at the feet of his Savior. He falls at the feet of Jesus, and he says, thank you. Thank you. This was a gift. This man had been held hostage to the disease of leprosy, and he had now been set free. And man, he was grateful. And look at what Jesus says next. He asks those three rhetorical questions, verse 17 and 18. Jesus said, "Were not 10 of you cleansed? Where's the other nine? Didn't any return to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he told him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has done more than heal you. What has your faith done? Saved you. Your faith has saved you." Verse 19. 10 people were healed. One returned. 10 people loved Jesus when they needed something. But they forgot the giver as soon as they got the gift. So here's my question. It's a difficult question. You guilty of doing that? Like, if you had to define yourself this morning, If you had to put yourself in one of those two groups, the group of the one who is grateful or the group of the nine who were not grateful, which one are you in? Can I tell you what can't happen? You cannot have a grateful heart and a grumbling spirit at the same time. Those two things cannot exist at the same time. If you recognize you have a grumbling spirit, there's hope for you. You can fix it. And it's not even rocket science. It's so simple. It's so easy to fix a grumbling spirit. So simple. So easy. Look at what the one leper did. He did three things. He remembered. Oh, it was Jesus who did that. He remembered. He returned. And he rejoiced. He remembered the blessing that Jesus had given him. Hey, there's an old hymn. Goes something like this, count your blessings, count them one by one. Remember that old hymn? Count your blessings, see what God hath done. If you're a grumbler, you know the first thing you can do to get out of that grumbling spirit that is causing you misery? Count your blessings. Look around at how God has blessed you. Look at your life. Look at how God has given you either mercy or grace. Count your blessings. Count them one by one. Count them and see what God has done. Remember what God has done. And then return. Bible word for that is repent. You know the Bible commands you to give thanks over and over and over again. It commands you to give thanks, which means if you do not give thanks, you are sinful. And what do you do when you're sinful? You repent. You remember what God has done. And you return to the Lord and repent. And then you rejoice with praise. If you're tired of being miserable and sour, if you're tired of having a misery-filled life, grumbling about everything, entitled about everything, you want more, not satisfied with what you have, not content with what God's given you. If you're tired of that, remember, return, and rejoice. And when you do, at the end of that road, you will find a faithful life. And you will find joy. So if it's not rocket science. If you want to find joy, you do it by first being grateful to God for what He's done in your life. Some of you right now may realize that you're not even a follower of God. You're not a follower of Jesus. And if that's you, if you realize that right now you don't know who Jesus is, then I've got really good news for you. You didn't just stumble into this building this morning. You're here with purpose. The Lord brought you here with purpose to hear about who Jesus is and what Jesus did and why it matters. Jesus is the sinless Son of God. He lived a sinless life, and He died a sinner's death. After He died, they pulled Him down from that cross and they buried Him in a tomb for 3 whole days. Perfection, never once sinning, never once breaking the law, keeping the law of God perfectly, dying on a cross, blood was spilled, body was broken, buried in a tomb. The disciples mourned, the world was in shock. But on that third day, everything changed. Because on the third day, Jesus rose from the dead. On the third day, He defeated death. He defeated sin. And if you place your faith and trust and hope in Him, He will defeat hell on your behalf. You will not be in hell if you repent of your sin and trust in Christ. That's who Jesus is. That's what Jesus did. And it matters because He's the only way to be saved. If that's you and you know that you need to be saved, repent of your sin, trust in Christ. Be saved and be baptized next week. If you are a believer in Christ and you recognize that you've got a bit of a grumbling spirit going on, a little conviction from the Lord, you're a bit of a grumbler, grumbling about everything you can imagine, or maybe just some things. Maybe there's some things you grumble about. And I want to encourage you to do what this one did. I want to encourage you to get out of the camp of the nine and jump into the camp with the one. And you do that by remembering what God has done, repenting, before God and rejoicing in his presence. Got to give thanks. Got to do that with a grateful heart.